Hey up everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 487. This is the recovery edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. Hopefully we're actually going to go through with the recovery and it's not just a false start here. Kind of like the economy, you know. We have a rather good show lined up for you today. As always, the Caffeination Podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All the member shows are listed lovingly nestled over at www.techpodcasts.com. If you're looking for our show, it can be found lovingly nestled along with all of its little episodic friends over at www.caffination.com. I'm Paul, and I'm here with my good friend.
This is Steve.
And we're both going to try and give you the best in caffeine culture and technology news here today. Hey, Steve, I got a question for you.
Hit me.
When a fan asks a balloon to marry him, what does she respond?
Well, I don't know, Paul.
Well, she was blown away, of course. See, this is the kind of humor that you don't get on other shows. This is just humor so bad that you'd expect to find it in some, like, third-grade reader. But we didn't. This is all, you know... This is all junk that we just, you know, find and pick out of our brain in the head and stuff like that. So, you know, as opposed to the brain in the back of your tail, where if you were a stegosaurus. But still, you know, hey, it's a weird episode in general. I got sick sometime on Sunday and haven't really felt right since then. I took a day off work for pretty much the first time this year for sick reasons and, like, been hopped up on all kinds of antibiotics since then. And I don't know. It's sort of starting to work, but the throat still hurts a little bit, so we're just going to try and be brief, but that usually doesn't happen there, does it?
Never.
So, yeah, except that was, of course, a brief statement, so you're lying.
I try to keep it.
I know, but you're really not helping here.
Yeah,
like, you're being brief, and I'm just talking on to hear myself talk.
I just like to throw you under the bus.
Okay, no problem. All right, so we have a wonderful show lined up for you today. Like I said, the 487th edition of the show. I think that that's a pretty huge number, so we're working on what we're going to do for the 500th edition of the show. It's still a couple weeks and months even away. I want to do something fun. I want to see if I can get something really interesting going for it. We'll see. But we have a whole bunch of really cool stuff to talk about today. We're going to be talking about the best in fine news and entertainment. We're going to be taking about the highlights and the lowlights of Star Wars, Muppets, the horrors of licensing terms and teams. We're touching on some old MS Office villain, and we're going to wander through the halls of some really beautiful design. We have just a quick little note up front and personal. You can join our mailing list by clicking on that link on the show notes, and there's going to be this episode's directly delivered to you along with a link so you can play it directly from the email. There's also two other really popular articles from this past week, and as a tertiary reason why you should join, there's also another article that we pull out of the archives that's probably going to be really useful to you. This week's article is all about how to make cold brewed coffee, so just something to wet your whistle. So you can sign up to the list, and you can actually see the last email that we sent. So it's a pretty good deal, I think. All right, we have a whole bunch of really interesting stuff lined up, like I said. What do you got doing geeky this week, Steve?
Well, I had a little bit of free time, so I watched all 14 episodes of Mr. Bean.
All 14?
That's
so
right.
So, yeah, there's not too much talking in that.
Nah, not much. He's quite a quiet fellow.
Yeah, a man of few words.
Yeah.
Big action, though. That's nice and geeky.
That is nice and geeky.
Yeah, I took the son, the boy, actually, to see the Kung Fu Panda 2. Very good movie in 3D. Can't remember if I took him last week or this week now. Now that I mention it, I can't remember when it actually was.
It might have been last week.
All right, so you'll know that I'm a little bit behind, a little bit fuzzy, if I actually said this on the last show, too. Still not a fan of 3D, but it was kind of really cool. Other than that, I've been doing some reading of comics on Graphically, which is an application that you can actually get on your Android phone. Still trying to work out the whole situation on how that actually works out. And it's kind of weird seeing tiny little panels of comics. I'm used to it when you're reading comics or graphic novels, being able to take the whole page in at a glance. And this is just a little bit different than you're used to. So I'd actually suggest you give it a shot. They got some free comics out there, so it's pretty cool.
I might have to give it a shot.
All right, next thing we got up here is Apple. We're giving the cursory mention. This is not a show where you go to find out everything and anything about Apple because, well, we don't have the kind of money to fly out to bathe in the glory that is Steve Jobs. Neither of us really have a lot of Apple products around, although we do know people who do. It's something that we like to make mention of. It's just not something we live our lives by. Well, I'm pretty much platform agnostic. If I was recording the show on a Mac, I'd say, hey, you know what, Macs are pretty good. Since I'm recording it on a PC, I'd say, hey, you know what, PCs are pretty good. And if I had a decent Linux machine down there, I'd probably rather go with that anyway. But it's whatever serves your needs the best. But there's some interesting updates from the WWDC this year. Apparently, Jobs is going to be returning to his mothership, and he's building a spaceship to do it. There's a 12,000 seat office building or room office building. Can't really figure it out. It's going to house 12,000 employees, I think it actually is. And it's going to be interesting to see how they actually work it out. They're going to be putting it in Cupertino, and that was one of their big announcements, along with a lot of the other new features that are coming in the OS X Lion. They also introduced iCloud, which is a really interesting service to let you store a lot of your stuff off the beaten path and off into the ether, but they're doing cloud technology a little bit different than everybody else because, you know, hey, they're Apple. They want you to think different as well as a whole bunch of other stuff. So, I don't know. I really don't have much of a opinion on it because my laptop can't upgrade that far, so I'm kind of stuck where I am. But yeah, it's interesting to see what they're doing. But this is kind of a landslide, or a landmark, rather, occasion because I don't think they introduced a single piece of hardware for the first time in years. And there didn't seem to be the same kind of buzz that surrounded this one that there was in years past.
Right.
So, I mean, like, you had the iPad 2, you had all that other stuff. That's all been announced. I mean, they're not even ready to announce the iPad or iPhone 5. They have iOS 5, but they don't have the iPhone 5. So it's going to be interesting to see exactly what that happens and where, or if there's going to be that, one more thing. You know, Jobs is the master showman, and I got to say, if there was anybody in the tech community who I could emulate, it would be him, because everything that happens at Apple is his will. You know, Jobs will be done. That's pretty much it. I mean, you know, Gates is great and everything. He's a wonderful humanitarian, but he just doesn't have the pull within his own company to drive the technology. It's pretty interesting. All right, next little thing we got for you here is...
It is, in fact, Nintendo Hacked. Yes, it is correct. A hacker clan who go by the name of Lulz Security has gone in and hacked into Nintendo earlier this week. And unfortunately, it happened, but they were very, very light on their actions. In fact, the only thing they took was a configuration file. And... you know, you'll ask yourself, if that's all they took, you know, why is it so big? Well, this is the same company who hacked Sony the second time, the time after April 19th, the big one. And the reason they gave for not, you know, doing too much damage is because they like Nintendo. In fact, you know, into more detail, they like Nintendo 64. So, in fact, they went... very light on them that instead of what they did to Sony.
I mean, this reminds me a lot of some of the old school hacking stuff that you'd see where people would go in and take one file that didn't have any kind of user information in it just to prove that they were there. It's like, hey, you know what? I totally owned your system and here's the proof that it did it, but you might want to just take a look at it. And it's kind of weird that they would pick a system that old. It's like, Hey, we really like N64. They'd be like somebody coming up to Microsoft and saying, you know what? Office 98... that was where it was at. So, I mean, it's interesting, but you know, it's still a serious thing, and Sony's like, hey, wait a minute, how do we get in on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of funny that the only system I haven't heard really hacked into is the Xbox.
I mean, I think the only thing that I've seen happening to Xbox is that there's a lot more banned consoles happening now. It's more and more frequent that the consoles are actually getting banned because of people doing things like modifications and stuff like
that.
So, I think... the way that Xbox kind of structured their network, where you have to have a specific signature that can only be generated by the hardware inside of an Xbox, it makes it a lot harder to go around that and still connect successfully to their actual Xbox servers. So it's still kind of interesting. All right, moving right along to something that could have found its way either into the food and caffeinated bits or into the tech, but we're putting it in the tech just because it's that awesome. This is the world's first amphibious ice cream truck. I think this thing is just plain out cool. This thing debuted or launched in London. It is the HMS Flake 99, licensed to chill. Its captain and vendor-in-chief is Dave Monfield. He's a stand-up comic, rather, with a penchant for chili treats there. It's kind of funny because this is actually sponsored by the same people who own the Cadbury eggs now, and I kind of would want to talk to them because they actually reduced the size of the Cadbury eggs over the past couple years. Not that I'm eating tons of them, but, you know, I want them to be the original size. size. Come on.
Right.
But it's actually kind of a protest wagon, which is interesting because there's so many rules and regulations over in Britain limiting the spaces and the places that these ice cream trucks can go into that over the last 50 years, you know, noise concerns, childhood obesity, and all these other things, there's next to no ice cream trucks anywhere in England. I could do with a few less ice cream trucks around here. They're kind of like dueling ice cream trucks from time to time around here.
Yeah.
It's like we have one pass another one on the street, and it's like there's four of them. One guy who loves to circle the block. He'll go around the first time, get all the kids outside and worried. Then he'll go around the second time while the parents are out there trying to console the kids. Then he'll go around the third time after the parents have already calmed the kids down to try and get them to get in there that one more time. I swear, somebody's going to put a spike strip down at one point.
I think another problem with that is the fact that, you know, time is no limit to them. They'll come at any time at night.
Yeah, it's like I hate extra rules and regulations that don't really do anything, but it's like, you know, enough's enough with this.
Right.
I would still love to see the floating ice cream truck here, though. What makes it really cool is that there's not a lot of river traffic on the Thames, which is where this thing is. Well, I mean, not a lot of, personal river traffic,
right,
to where it would actually get a huge amount of sales, at least that I know of. I mean, if there's any of our British listeners who would like to correct me, please feel free. But what they're going to do is they're actually going to cross the channel in this thing. And, you know, they're not shipping it anywhere. They're going to float this sucker across the channel, probably stop midway, you know, have a nice little frozen treat.
Yeah.
And then they're going to motor down to Venice. This thing was built for Venice. This thing, like, when you look at this, you're like, oh my god, why has nobody in Venice done this yet?
Yeah.
And I just can't wait to see it actually there. So, I think it's pretty cool.
I think I'd take a trip over just to see it.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Alright, next little thing we got up for you here is the Lego Star Wars Sandcrawler. Now, the Sandcrawler is only ever seen from one side in the movie. So, the person who actually built this had to actually go back on Marshall Banana, which I'm assuming is probably not his real name.
I don't think so.
But, you know, anyway, Marshall and his banana have decided to make it a two-sided thing. It's over 3 feet long. It weighs over 20 kilograms. This is a big Lego model. But the funny thing about these sand crawlers is that they look like a giant box. So it's not like a whole ton of extra detail went in this, but he went one step further and actually has not only the whole thing motorized where he can drive it around remotely, but he can drop the hatch, and there's actually a winch that works, and there's lights and everything on the inside. So it is pretty cool. It just seems to be a little bit, I don't know, boxy.
Looks that way.
I mean, but hey, you know, it is what it is. It's a sand crawler. It's fantastic. And the way I understand some of the stuff that they do over at the Brothers Brick, because he actually had to borrow some of the reddish brown bricks that actually go into creating it, because they're apparently really rare. He had to borrow them from somebody else. So I'm assuming after he took all the video and everything, he set up all his dioramas, he took it apart. This thing took, it's 10,000 pieces and took over 9 months to build.
Wow.
I don't think I've ever lent anybody anything for 9 months and said, hey, yeah, you know, don't worry about it. Just get it back after you're done taking a picture of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's happening.
So, but, you know, the Lego people are a different breed. Next thing we got for you here is sticking with Star Wars vein. Star Wars and the wonderful people at the Muppets have Jim Henson, and his ilk have decided to release a set of figurines that are all about Star Wars. They're all the different Muppets kind of dressed up in the different Star Wars costumes. They're coming in roughly, they're coming in four packs of two Muppets each. Each Muppet pack, each two pack, is going to be priced at $18.95. So that's a pretty penny, isn't it?
I think that's a pretty fine. Just for two, that's a little expensive.
I mean, they look nice, they look and everything, but if looking one step further, they really went out of their way to actually angle Kermit as Luke Skywalker. There's one small problem with that. Luke Skywalker does not end up with Leia because they're actually brother and sister. You know, George Lucas wrote it into the movie that they kissed. When he did that, he knew that they were brother and sister. So George Lucas is a sick dude. So beyond that, If Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia are brother and sister, you would at least expect them to both be sort of the same species. So, but for the Han Solo, they have some generic pig in there. I don't even know his name. And, you know, he's the Han Solo. So that would be the person that Princess Leia would end up with. Luke Skywalker should be the pig, and Kermit the Frog should be Han Solo. I think we all know Han Solo is a little bit more take charge of a guy than Luke. Luke's
yeah.
a little bit of a whiner.
I think so.
I love Fozzie Bear as Chewbacca, and I absolutely love Gonzo as Darth Vader, and Sam the Eagle as Obi-Wan, and the best part about the entire thing, I think, is the fact that a chicken is a stormtrooper. So, I mean, everything else about it really works out and really does nicely. It's just, it doesn't seem to be on point for me. All right, which ties into the next thing, which is a little bit better. And this one was a drawing put up there. I don't think this is by Nathan Fillion, but this is actually somebody who gave up their art time and then sent it to Nathan, and he pushed it out on Twitter. This is the cast of Serenity, or of Firefly, called Firefrog. And it's Firefly, the Muppets. And they have Captain Mal as Kermit the Frog. The priest is Sam, and then they go through the whole thing. And it just works. Everything that they have in there is on point accurate. I mean, everything down to Miss Piggy is the love interest, to Beaker is a goofball, to Fozzie. It just, everything works. So it's the way that it should be, and I think that this kind of effort needs to go into the Muppet thing in general. So
yeah, I think so.
I mean, the Muppets, I love what they're doing on YouTube right now. They have a lot of really good new videos. I have no clue who's behind it. They're not doing a new show as far as I know.
Yeah, but I wish they would.
Yeah, but they keep putting out these really awesome segments, and everybody's going, it's like, hey, you know what? I'd like to see Cookie Monster host Saturday Night Live. I'd like to see, you know, a new Muppet show with all of the adult humor thrown in there. These are not kids' characters. If you ever watched the old Muppet show, there's a lot of subtle, dirty jokes in there.
You don't get it as a child, but...
No, I mean, it's like Looney Tunes. Looney Tunes had all the entendres woven in. And then now I'm watching it, you're like, they got away with that? All right, next little thing we got for you here is...
It would be the Sci-Fi Motorcycle Helmet. A gentleman who goes by the name of Tiger Paws 444 designed helmets from children's toys. And what I mean by that is he took helmets from, like, you know, Iron Man and even the Master Chief and glued them onto the motorcycle helmets to try and, you know, spice it up a little bit. And... you know, unfortunately, you're not able to use them legally on the road. So if you wind up on the road and wearing a Master Chief riding down the street, you are going to get pulled over and you will get fined.
The thing that I'm looking at with this, besides the fact that the picture of you in the actual Iron Man mask with the bunny ears on.
Yeah, you can thank your son for that one.
Is, you know, the field of vision. In a lot of the other ones, like, the field of vision's nice and open. Like, Master Chief, you could actually be able to see around you. And I could actually see somebody doing a Master Chief helmet well.
Right.
But not taking plastic parts and screwing and drilling and putting them into a helmet. It's just something you don't mess around with. And the Iron Man thing is built to the wrong scale. It's supposed to wrap around a kid's head. It barely fits around my head. It fits around yours all right. Because you're a smaller dude.
Yeah, but I can't see that well out of it.
Yeah, and I mean, yes, he cut out the bar in the middle, but that's it. I mean, there is no peripheral vision. There's no top-down vision. This is a fun thing to have, not a smart thing to wear.
No.
All right, moving right on to the Hail to the King, baby. We got another Duke Nukem thing coming up. So if you missed out on it, we left the fun little lead up content to it. But we also are still running our contest. We're going to be drawing the winner on the 14th of June. So you will get notified if you won the same day that the game is released. We're trying to save you some coin here. So what you can do, if you don't think that you're going to win, you can actually go back and you actually pre-order it from many of the links that are in there. They're all affiliate links. This point in time in the episode, if you are wandering around the site and you see the Amazon links on the side, you see any of the other ads on the top and the bottom, and you'd like to help support the Caffeination, if you could just click on one or two of them, that we'd be incredibly appreciative. They help with the hosting fees and everything else. But beyond that, we're actually still giving away a copy of Duke Nukem Forever. Now, before we told you, if you listened to the last episode, we gave you the answer. The answer is not in that blog post. The answer was... Bubblegum. If you email Bubblegum to contest@caffeination.com, you will get entered in. Well, here's the fun thing. Since this is the last episode that's actually getting released before this contest drops, we're going to give you two more chances to get in. Now, these are things that you're going to have to look up. And they're incredibly easy, I think. What do you think?
They're definitely easy.
All right. Same thing. You have to email contest@caffeination.com. The first thing that you have to email us, these are two separate emails. Each one of these will be considered a separate entry into the contest. So totally, if you email Bubblegum, you email answer one, and you email answer two, you have three chances to win. So I think that ups your quotient significantly.
I think so.
So from everybody who's just reading the blog post, you got two up on them now. So, all right, the first thing you have to do is Duke is very famous for a quote of something of steel. So if you email me the entire quote, including the missing first name, the first word that I'm not really supposed to say on a child family-friendly podcast, then you can get an extra entry. Then on the second thing, all you have to do is email me the current developer, the current person, or company, rather, who is doing this game. It started out as 3D Realms. It is no longer 3D Realms. They were bought out 15 different times over. All you have to do, I'm just going to give you the easy thing to do, is click on the game and find the Something Studios. It's not 2K Games. That's the overarching publishing company out there. The game studio that's doing this. So you email me that, the Something Studios, and then you email me the of Steel, and that's two separate emails, two separate chances to win. As long as you throw Bubblegum in there too, guess what? You got yourself a 3-pack. So I think that's a pretty good deal.
I think that's pretty easy.
And I'm still sorry, but you can't win.
Yeah, I know, me too.
But we're hopefully getting the game, so we will be reviewing it, and you will be able to do the multiplayer, multi-duke.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah. All right, next little article we got up for you here. This is really funny. This is I hate the dads and grads thing. I really hate the fact that they lump Father's Day in with graduation time. Not that I need something huge for Father's Day, not that I want something huge for Father's Day, but there's always really cool things where you can kind of enjoy being a geek dad, and one of them is that there's now a creeper available over at ThinkGeek.com, and says the babe with the power. This is from the iconic movie Labyrinth. So it's, you know, the whole thing run down is the babe with the power. What power? The power of hoodoo. You do what? Remind me of the babe. So there you go. The whole long thing, and it just says the babe with the power on it. It's a black creeper, so it could go on boys or girls. You just put a little pink bow up in the hair, and you're all good in the hood. I think it's hilarious, and I'm seriously considering buying it without approval. All right. I don't think Jen has actually ever seen Labyrinth. So
no, I don't think
she's
so
she's not really a geek person.
No.
Although I have caught her. I've sent her HTML jokes since she's now doing a lot of web design and work, and she's getting them, and she's hating the fact that she's getting them. So, like, I'll put joke in a header up at the top and then put slash joke at the end. She says, you know, I really shouldn't understand that that was meant to be a joke as a whole. It's like, yeah. But you do. So, all right. Next little thing we got for you here is?
It is an iPhone alarm dock. And what this is it's a pretty simple design. It's by a gentleman by the name of Jonas Damon, who basically took the concept of the old GE flip clocks. And if you're not too familiar, if you've seen Groundhog, you've seen plenty of them.
I got you, babe.
Yeah, exactly. Basically what it is you plug your iPhone into this, and it takes over from there. It's a simple design, but you know what? I think it's great. I hope it comes out for the Androids.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, I like the simple designs better than a lot of the really convoluted things. Hey, you can use your iPhone to drive your car. You know what? Some things really just don't need to happen.
Nah.
So, and I don't really need to see an iPhone-driven car.
No.
But I do know that they have them.
Yeah, and if you're looking to find these iPhone alarm docks, go on over to AreaWare, and they'll have them ready for you.
Cool.
And then after that, we're sticking with wood and going with watches made out of wood. And what I mean by this is WeWood.com has...
That's a funny URL.
Yeah, that is.
I gotta say that. WeWood. It's tiny wood.
What they did is they took a bunch of trees, cut them down, and making a bunch of watches out of them. And how this is neat, in fact, it's completely made out of wood. But what I like most about this is the fact that the company is actually planting a tree for every watch bought. So although they're, you know, defacing the world, they're bringing it right back up.
That's pretty cool. But are they actually cutting the trees down to make it, or is it like they're using reclaimed wood?
And I need to correct myself. They are actually using reclaimed wood.
Oh, okay.
And instead of after the trimmings are done and they just toss them in the fire, they're actually making merchandise out of it. It's actually a great idea.
That is really cool. Because, I mean, if you ever saw that thing that we talked about a bunch of shows ago where they took the log and then they cut it up into all the different boards and stuff, there was waste all over the place on it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not everything needs to be mulched. This is a pretty cool watch. I think I'd get it. How much are they?
They are $119.
I don't know about that.
Well, over at, you know what's funny? Over at thinkgeek.com, they're $119. You go over to the website, wewoods.com, it's $139.
Really? So you get a little discount for going to ThinkGeek. I like ThinkGeek. And you get the Geek Points. You know, we need to get ThinkGeek to sponsor the show.
Yeah, we do a lot of...
yeah, there's a lot of stories that lead back to them. I mean, how cool would that be? It's like, hey, it's sponsored by ThinkGeek, the Caffeination Podcast, where anything goes, as long as it's geeky.
Yeah.
Come on, I mean, I just did a commercial for you. You people need that. I mean, I could drop my voice down really low, do the announcer voice. Hello, and welcome to the Caffeination Podcast, sponsored by ThinkGeek. I think that would just be really cool.
Yeah.
All right, up next we got lenticular flooring from the wonderful scientists over at Tokyo's University of Electrocommunications. They're a lot more specific than we are here.
Yeah, I think so.
There's a couple universities around where it's like, yeah, we're the school of textiles, but they don't just have stuff about textiles.
No.
I'm pretty sure over there in Japan, you know, Tokyo University is probably in Tokyo, and it probably is the university of only electrocommunications. So you're not going to go there and get a philosophy degree.
No.
I mean, it's like here we have things like, you know, the University of Pennsylvania or the University of California, Pennsylvania, right down the street from the University of, like, Indiana, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So it's like it's all kinds of weird. And we're not even talking campuses here, but I like that. And beyond that point, have you ever walked down a crowded hallway and you felt everybody was jammed into one place and you kind of wish there were traffic signs that people would pay attention to subconsciously? The idea of lenticular flooring is actually flooring that has optical illusions built into it so that people naturally gravitate towards the pass that they're supposed to do. So this is kind of like traffic management for people. Now, if they could only fix that thing where there's only one door open and there's like 15 doors there, and everybody tries to squeeze through that one door, I think I'd be happy. But I just thought this was pretty cool. Although I think I'd get a little dizzy if this was anywhere near a bar.
Yeah, I think so.
But it's like there should be signs. Do not stare directly at the lenticular flooring.
No.
But, you know, hey, at 3 a.m., you're like, well, lenticular what? This is a link originally shared by one of my friends on Facebook. Rob, thank you so much for sharing this, Rob. This is fantastic. It's called Ribbon Hero 2, Clippy's Second Chance. Now, if you remember the iconic and somewhat irritating Clippy or paperclip that would pop up, it's like, hey, it looks like you're writing a letter. Hey, it looks like you're trying to depose a small nation. Hey, it looks like you're trying to kill yourself. Would you like help with that? I mean, it was a whole bunch of jokes that were associated with it, widely reviled. I never really had a big problem with him because every once in a while he would hit the nail right on the head. It's like, you know what? Yes, I am writing a resume. And you know what? I forgot where all those different templates are. Thank you ever so much for pulling them up. Well, Clippy's getting a second chance, and there's actually a fun little game that you can download, and it works with your existing Office installation to help teach you Office basics as it goes through. So it's really cool. So if you have Office on your laptop or your computer at home, you can work through it. My wife beat it in like 35 minutes because she's an Office guru. She's taken all the classes and everything. I didn't put that much effort into it because I guess something else came up, you know, shiny object floated by. But if you know somebody who's struggling with the basics of Word, Excel, OneNote, and all that other fun stuff, you might want to send them on over to ribbonhero.com. And the best part is it's actually developed by the fine folks at Microsoft. So it dovetails into the existing programs. It actually starts the programs. Like there's a comic strip that scrolls by and says, Clippy's trying to get a new job. You know what? I think it's time to update my resume. Word automatically starts on your computer and you have to change the entire resume from Comic Sans to Calibri or something like that. So as soon as you do that, it saves. He gets the job. Word closes and a new program opens. It's just cool. It's kind of effortless. It's flawless. It's really neat. So I think there's 7 levels. So if you get up to level 7, you are a ribbon hero. So
did she beat it in 35 minutes?
Yeah, she beat it in 35 minutes. I think you might have to go up against her now.
Yeah. I was done at 30.
All right, that about wraps it up for the Geek Cruft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. We have a decent amount of food and caffeinated bits. We're going to dive right on in, and you're going to have to hold on to your lug nuts because it's time for an overhaul. We got a lot of fun stuff to rock it down here, and my voice is kind of giving out on me, so we'll see where this goes. All right, first up, coffee and electricities. This is like one of those things from Animaniacs. Good idea, bad idea. I'm going to file this under bad idea. How about you?
Yeah, definitely.
This is a fun travel mug with a locking lid and a switch to turn turn it on that has a heating plate actually put in the bottom of the mug itself. Now, I have, when we are done recording the show, I will show you my heating plate that I have for mugs. It's also a USB port. It does nothing but burn your hand. It cannot warm the mug itself. So this thing has been tried before. The only thing I could think is that maybe they've worked the different materials so that it actually heats the coffee up, maybe stirs it around a bit or something. I don't even know. But the idea behind it is that you would actually flip a plug out and plug the thing directly into your electrical outlet. This is from over at Yanko Design. I think it's a beautiful design, but I think it's horribly executed. I would never want to drop a cup of coffee onto a power strip. It just doesn't seem to be something I'd want to do. If they had made a docking station or a port or something like that where you could leave these things sit and all it would do is conduct electricity by sliding the cup onto it, kind of like that power charge mat we have for the Wii controllers upstairs, then this would work. But no thank you for plugging it into the wall.
Yeah, I think it's a great concept, but like I'm looking at the picture and it makes me a little nervous seeing that cup is, you know, not secured in a hole. It looks like it's off to the side.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem to be on point. All right, next thing we have up here is the beer diet. Now, before you guys get all up in arms and say, "Hey, this is the best thing ever," there's a gentleman. And this gentleman had a dream one day. His dream was to follow and emulate the 16th century monks who were living in Germany. During Lent, they would actually abstain from solid food and drink nothing but beer the entire time. So, monks did what they were supposed to do, and they got mighty vishnicked, and they're all fine. Yeah, there's things here, we'll bless them. And, you know, to quote the great Mel Brooks, but, you know, this is interesting because it's an unfiltered Doppelbock. It's an incredibly strong and dark beer with lots of different vitamins and stuff in there. Everybody told him this is a bad idea. His doctors told him this is a bad idea, especially because he's the kind of guy who cannot gain weight. So he was already 20 pounds underweight. So he gained a quick 20 pounds to be up to 160. And then he was going to drink nothing but beer for 46 days. I want to know what kind of boss would say, "Hey, you know what? You can feel free to drink, bring some beer into work."
Yeah.
And, you know, just drink one as soon as you get in, so that way you're not drinking and driving. You know, I don't think the monks were driving anywhere. I think they were just pretty much plastered the whole time, and that probably made it go a little bit better. He only drank 4 beers a day during, I think it was 4 or 5 beers a day during the week, and then 6 beers a day during the weekend. You know what? If the only thing I'm doing is drinking beer and water, I'd be hitting up a little bit more of the brew. I mean, that's just, hey, if you're gonna make it work. Don't take it halfway.
Right.
So still, the dude lost 25 pounds, and he said that it actually started eating muscle mass out of his body. Oh, that is not a good thing. Nah. So unless you are a big dude who's going to try and chug down some beer and see if you can lose weight over the long run by cutting everything else out, I highly doubt this is a healthy endeavor for absolutely anybody. It's interesting to see what the body can actually take, but at the same point, I don't think anybody should ever do this again. And I'm pretty sure he's missing something, like probably the amount of beer that the monks would drink. Like, he's saying he drank like 4 or 5 beers a day, like probably like a bottle. The monks were probably drinking steins of beer. It's like, you have like 2 in the morning and you're pretty much toasted till noon.
Right.
Who knows about the actual alcohol content of it? And then there's a wonderful little photo of the Joe Coffee Port at the bottom, because I don't actually have any Doppelbock readily available. I have some in my bottle collection somewhere, but I wasn't able to get it quick. But, all right, next little thing we got for you here is?
It's called the Smart Holder. And if you ever go to your office and, you know, you tell people, "Hey, I'm going to get coffee. Anybody want any?" Yeah, of course you'll have about 6 or 7 other people who want coffee. And the biggest problem with that is bouncing it all to come back at once. And so somebody by the name of Zhang Wu Choi came up with the design of the coffee cup sleeve. And what this is you pretty much have a bunch of sleeves for your coffee, and they actually connect. So it's a lot easier to carry them all instead of having to hold 4 together, you know, one on your shoulder, one on your lip, one on your head. And it's a great design, you know. I think he'll go far with this.
Yeah, I really kind of hope this gets made. It's like a rigid plastic and rubber combination. Like, the rubber is the anti-slip thing in the middle,
right?
And then the plastic's around the outside, so it kind of like tessellates into a fun pattern. The only thing I suggest is there needs to be some kind of handle if you're really carting a ton of it.
Yeah, a lid.
Yeah, well, lids would be a definite thing there. But hey, I just think it's really cool. All right, next thing we got up for you here is sticking with the wood vein that we got here going today. See what I did there? A vein of wood?
Yeah.
All right. But the Norwegian wooden espresso. A bunch of men who have names that I cannot pronounce except for Odin Grimstad. And, that's pretty much all I'm going to attempt. Maybe Mariko Kurioka Rodi. I think that. And then there's somebody with a slash through an O. I don't know. It's Oystein Husby. And, all right, we'll try the last one, too. Asni Kittyland.
Kittyland.
I don't even know. But these fine Norwegian folks said that the wonderful beverage of espresso needs to be taken seriously. Espresso is to coffee as good design is to art. You can call any old thing coffee. You can call any old thing art. But to truly set aside and aspire to perfection of espresso or great art, you have to make sure that the experience as a whole works. And what they wanted to do was bring the Italian experience of espresso into a Norwegian sensibility. I really kind of think that they did some fantastic stuff here. This looks like a beautiful espresso machine that I would love to see in my house. I have no clue how much it would be. It just seems to be incredibly and brilliantly thought out, and it's perfect. And if you head on over to the site Dear Coffee, I Love You, you can actually see them building it. It's a really, really cool thing. All right, next up we got for you here.
It would be latte art, and what I mean by that is a gentleman who goes by the name of Monk Drew created a birthday present for his brother. And so, indeed, he put the Triforce symbol into his latte, and he was pretty dead on with it. He did pretty good, and you know what? That's not all he does. He does this, you know, with a lot of different designs. If you go over to his DeviantArt, you can see all different kinds of artwork that he's done with just lattes.
Yeah,
it's actually pretty neat.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at some of his stuff. Like, the monkey's funny. The Happy Holidays is kind of kitschy. But, like, the Rosetta that he has there, which is the thing on the right,
right,
is just absolutely insane. And he's in training. This is a barista in training. So we'll see what kind of stuff this guy can churn out in the future. But the only reason I actually saw it originally is because it had the Triforce. And when I heard the Triforce, I had to say, hey, Steve, hey, eyeball this.
Yeah, and I went over to his website, and you know what? He goes into more detail with things. I mean, he's got a scorpion on one side, and then what looks like a dragon on the other. It's he's pretty good with it.
Yeah, this guy is where it's at. All right, next little thing, something I'm a little bit irritated about. The Gourmet Food Blog by Dean and DeLuca, the wonderful people from New York, they have a way of making Japanese iced coffee. This is not cold brewed coffee. This is taking a Chemex, actually pouring or filling the bottom of the Chemex up with ice. And Chemex is a glass beaker-like coffee brewer. And then you put the cone in the top, you actually pour the boiling water into the cone, and you let it drip directly down into the ice. My entire thing was, I said, hey, you know, this is a really good idea. It's interesting to see that the Japanese make iced coffee this way, because there's so many different ways that different cultures make it. Some people cold brew it, some people chill it after it's already cooled down, and it actually does affect the flavor slightly. But what I was saying is, if you're choosing a glass vessel to try this out in, I would watch out for shattering, because you're going to have two very distinct levels of temperature. And I mean, everything, even like a cast iron pan, if you just get finished sauteing up at something and then you put it in a cold sink, that thing can shatter, and it's cast iron. So I've had coffee mugs shatter when I filled them with ice and poured coffee over top of them because I didn't pour slow enough. Yes, you're supposed to pour the coffee directly onto the ice so that it actually slowly evens out the temperature. But you know, the funny thing is, I put this comment up there about it, and they deleted my comment. So I had to tell you about it. I'm probably going to write about it. But I was just a little disappointed. I was like, hey, you know what? It said it was in moderation. Then I looked back after 25 minutes, and it was gone. I was like, well, okay, well, I guess you don't want people to know that the glass thing can actually shatter. So that's all fine. Dean and DeLuca, as you were. All right, last little thing we got for you here is from our author, Tara, but Steve's going to give it a shot.
Yeah, let's see what I can do here. She wrote about all the weird ways to eat your caffeine. That is right. Eat your caffeine. What she did was she brought a couple of different products, put them together in this little segment here. She brought up biofuel popcorn, which I do believe, did we speak about that before?
Yeah, we did talk about it shortly.
We did, yeah, and pretty much caffeinated popcorn, and I do remember now because there's only so much you can do with popcorn, and I don't think making it caffeinated will help.
I'm not sure, because, I mean, caffeine's kind of bitter, so you're going to have to really salt that up to actually make it kind of clear out.
Yeah, and that'll help your hypertension there.
Yeah, just a little bit.
And then she also brought in an energy breath, and I'm pretty sure it's just Banaca with caffeine in it. So, you know, spray up and make your breath smell like coffee seems like a great idea. And after that, a water jug, which actually I was pretty intrigued with. It's pretty much water that has the equivalent of one cup of coffee. And you know what? I might have to give that a shot to see what it really tastes.
They have that. They also have Activité water, and there's a couple other places. We've actually tried the Activité. It tastes really good when it's cold, but it has a weird taste when it's warm.
Really?
But when it's cold, you can't taste it at all. I can't speak for Water Joe, but you know, caffeinated water in general is pretty interesting.
And after that, we got the Perky Jerky, which is caffeinated, you know, jerky. And yeah, that's a neat idea. Of course, you got the snack in the face. But the one thing I was actually looking forward to, I'm waiting for them to get it back in stock at ThinkGeek.com. It's the Stay Puffed, and you should know what this is if you've watched a plenty of Ghostbusters. It's the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man. And
don't cross the streams.
Yeah. And, of course, it's caffeinated marshmallows, and although Paul is not a fan of s'mores, I would love to give this a shot with s'mores.
Because, all right, so you got the caffeinated marshmallows, and then you got the caffeinated chocolate, because chocolate has caffeine in it.
Right.
Well, we need to do some find some caffeinated graham crackers and maybe some caffeinated cocaine, and you can snort that while it's going.
I think I'm on the hunt.
Just all the way through. I mean, but you know what? I'm looking at this, and you know, it's like, Ray, if somebody says asks you if you're a god, you say yes. So it's there's just way too many quotes that go along with this. I love this. Thank you ever so much, Tara, for sending this along and putting this up there. It's really helping out with the content. If there's any of you people out there who think you'd like to lend your hand to writing articles for the Caffeination Podcast, you can send a link back to whatever blog that you happen to be running yourself. Or if you don't have one, you just want a place to get some fun things off your chest, and you can keep it relatively child safe, family friendly, then hey, feel free to shoot an email to Paul or Steve at caffeination.com, and we'll gladly set you on the track so you can get your first article up and going. All right, that about wraps it up here today. I think we came in on time, a little bit over budget. Overall, a little bit of editing, and I think we'll be all right.
I think we'll be good.
All right, so thank you ever so much for sticking around. This has been Caffeination episode number 487. We're going to give you a little bit of information at the end of this one. If you would like to subscribe to the newsletter, please head on over there and actually click the newsletter subscription link. Please feel free to fill out our survey at the top of the page, also in every single one of the show notes. It helps us find advertisers and people who are willing to pay us to talk about the cool products that they may or may not have. If you could like to leave a voicemail, please feel free to dial into 215-240-1319. It's a direct-to-voicemail line. You can also leave me an audio comment and just email it to me at paul@caffeination.com.
Or steve@caffeination.com.
You can Twitter me at Caffeination, and you can Twitter Steve at
Lost Fears.
And our Facebook fan page is up there. There's a whole bunch of other ways you can actually get the show and get involved. We're really looking to build the community. We love the fact that you all come back every week to listen to us. So thank you ever so much from the bottom of our hearts. It has been a wonderful, wonderful day here serving with you. So hopefully you will come back and stay caffeinated, people.